All right, I'll see what I can do.
I'll even give you my SIN number to make sure it all goes through.
Oh my
I'll give you my
goodness. Don't say it
SIN
on here, man. They're watching.
and my banking information.
Thank
Direct
you.
deposit.
I'll put that to good use.
Yeah, I figured you can just direct deposit for me.
Just an IP transfer.
Yeah, exactly. You're
I
trustworthy.
got you.
You're like a Nigerian prince. Yo, did I tell you
My name is Ahmed.
I got an email like last week from some guy that said that he was like dying of, random disease and he wants to send me his inheritance.
Like, yeah,
And he
please send
didn't
me some
say
cash.
COVID?
No. I think he said
Wow.
like lung cancer or something, like stage 4 lung cancer or something. He was like, yeah,
Yeah.
I don't trust my kids, so I wanted to send it to you because I know you put to good use. It's like, what?
A nice guy.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 Pod. I'm your host Peter Tran, and on the line I got my isolated pick and pop partner Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm doing a lot better than your Denver Nuggets, that's for sure.
Yeah, Denver Nuggets just pure isolation right now. Jesus. Banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
I'm excited to talk about free agency. July 1st is just around the corner.
Free what? You want to talk about
Oh
free
shit.
agency?
Oh shit, I forgot we're in 2020.
Oh man, you thought LeBron was back on the market?
Yo, 365 days ago, there was a lot more unknown in the NBA than there was now. Or wait, no. Are we even going to get a season this year?
It's not looking good.
Nah, man, they're gonna force it through. Let's be real. I think the
At least the
biggest.
Raptors are healthy.
For now.
True.
They're probably one of the teams that did the most isolation out of this group. Because there's been no leaks about any Raptors really training with other people this whole time. Whereas other teams, like the Lakers. Well, we've all heard their stories, right? The Lakers are like full on practicing with each other for these past like 2 or 3 months. How wild is that?
Yeah, and some rich guy's mansion.
Yeah, some dude replicated the Staples Center floor. Like, what? What's going on? You got
That's when you know you got money.
Yeah, for real, man. I think a lot of the 76ers were training together as well. JJ Redick's talked about it multiple times on his podcast that this guy just like he goes to shoot first thing in the morning before anyone enters this random gym that he has access to in Brooklyn or in the Hamptons, I guess probably. These guys are genius, but especially the Lakers just doing everything that they want on their own.
I
But
wish I had a random gym I could access right now.
I wish I could access a court where no one is ever around. Like, just my own court.
Oh, I have that. I have that outside for sure.
You have an empty, like, a completely empty court? Never had
Oh,
anyone
yeah.
there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Are they proper nets? You're looking at, like, 10 feet?
Yep.
With a
Oh,
mesh?
yeah. With the mesh.
What kind of backboard is it?
It's not a glass one.
Oh, we're going real deep into this backboard
Is it hard court?
analysis.
Hard court?
Yeah, I wish. It's Rucker Court, Rucker Park,
You got those nice
Rucker Court.
rubbery floors or whatever that stuff is made out of. Not the real hardwood. It's
Yeah,
great.
I know a guy with a mansion. Don't worry.
Was gonna say, what a nice backyard that you have.
I wish.
Yeah.
Hey, the grass is starting to grow in now, though. We're gonna start
Hey.
talking about that.
Yeah, yo,
It's starting to rain.
you can be like that kid on Instagram who like, plays basketball on a farm. You can just
Yeah,
wear your.
that'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd love
dude.
that.
Set up a net in the backyard, wear your boots around and overalls, it'll be perfect.
My friend Randy was talking about building a court in his backyard, and I'm like, please do that. I'll come by your place every single day in the summer.
Would you wear a mask if you went to his place?
If he makes me, sure, to get outdoor access to a beautiful court like that, I'd do whatever he wanted.
There might be a lot of other fumes going around, you know what I mean?
Yeah. True.
We want to stay away.
Stay off the weed.
All right, well, let's just assume that the NBA goes forward for this discussion. Let's assume that teams are moderately healthy, because, why be pessimistic about this? Who do you.
Keep looking at Raj. He looks like he's about to fall asleep. I can't take it.
I just like there's so many ifs and assumptions, but you know what? The more we talk about it, the more it looks like it's going to happen. So let's keep going with it.
Just look on the bright side, man. Just assume that it's going to be there. We're only a month away from the start, right? Less than a month at this point. Raj, who do you think is going to come out of the gate strong? Like, who are your early favorites?
I think a team with like the Raptors, I know it's an easy pick, but they've had probably the most training together as a group. They probably have the least amount of noise because a lot of these players are younger players. They're not really considering not playing. You're looking at the Lakers, they have some uncertainty with getting J.R. Smith, Bradley not playing, JaVale McGee has asthma, like he might be like a late pullout. So there's just a lot of players on a lot of other teams that you hear rumblings that, hey, he might not play or they might not play, but the Raptors seem solid and they've also had training camp. I think they went to the Isolate on June 22nd and they've already had a week.
I'm looking at it from perspective of how many introverts is on each team. So I'm looking at it like, how many of these guys are just like staying indoors, working out, playing video games? And the conclusion that I've got is that Memphis is for sure going to make the playoffs because they have so many young guys who probably are just like chilling at home. And I feel like a guy like Gordon Hayward is going to do really well in the restart since all he's been doing is probably working out and, you know, playing video games. So, yeah, I like the Celtics and I like the Grizzlies have a nice start to the restart.
So you're basing this purely off of how well guys play video games?
Pretty much, and how often they play video games. Staying out of the public, you know, staying healthy, fit.
What about a younger team like New Orleans where, you know, like we've all seen videos of like Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart playing games this whole time. Josh Hart had that one where he like smashes up his keyboard and shit. You don't trust them?
No, I feel like Zion's getting a lot of like fine dining. I think he's going out to the restaurants instead of getting takeout.
You think Zion
dropped off to him? I don't think that's happening. And then like they got a bunch of older guys in that team too. Like they got JJ Redick and Derek Favors and, you know, a bunch of guys off the bench. Like, do we even know if Nico Melody is going to be joining them in Orlando? Like, we haven't heard anything about him. Isn't he Italian?
You're literally the only person who's ever thought of him over the past 3 months.
He's a key part of their team, man.
I don't know. He may have been one of the three people to test positive on that team.
Yeah, you never know. He was in Italy after all, right?
Yeah, three people out of their traveling party just tested positive.
Well, there you go.
Nicolò Melli, man. What a shame that would be. What a major loss.
You didn't hear about any Grizzlies testing positive, did you?
Didn't we?
I don't think so.
Huh. Not even Dylan Brooks?
Nah, he's Canadian, man. He's fine. Like, you're not going to hear about Jonas going to, you know, Novak Djokovic's party like Jokic did. That's not happening.
That's because Jonas wasn't invited. Get out of here. If he was Serbian, you know he would have been there too, just like everyone else.
They had some wild party. I saw some of those videos, man. What the hell are those guys thinking? It's crazy.
They're just trying to party, man. Serbia's, all their sports teams have been playing as if it's nothing. Normal capacity, man. In the stadiums.
I hope Jokic comes back okay.
I'm a little worried for Denver, man. Like, I'm not gonna lie. They just had to shut down their facility because too many people have tested positive. That's messed up. Like, how many people do you need to test positive out of your traveling party for you to just shut down the arena? Or the training facility? Like, it's a little much. We already heard that Coach Malone came down with it earlier during this quarantine. And now Jokic? You gotta assume a couple of other guys have got it too. Like, shaky out there. And who knows what happens to them afterwards, right?
Yeah, so just judging based off of Denver's owner, Stan Kroenke, I'm pretty sure he's so cheap that they're using like improper cleaning techniques and bad cleaning supplies because he's trying to save a dollar. But Denver is the team to watch because they're the first team to really completely shut down after the restart. And if this happens to another team and another team, and we're looking at like 4 or 5 teams like this, I don't think the season can continue. So they're the little experiment going on with how they're going to handle this.
Then again, if it's a team like Brooklyn, I mean, we heard yesterday that at least 2 or 3 players have coronavirus, and Dinwiddie and Jordan are among them. If teams like that and, you know, Phoenix and Orlando get shut down, who cares? Just invite them.
Wait, Phoenix is invited to this?
Yeah.
I know. You know, Washington might actually make the playoffs now, which is sort of, like, weird.
Yeah, Washington without Davis Bertans. Just on the back of Bradley Beal.
They're such a bad team, but at least you might get to see, like, Bradley Beal try to go for 50 every day, you know, against Giannis. might be something to watch, but I think no matter what, either team against Milwaukee is going to be like the highest, average amount of points against in a playoff series of all time. I think last year, Milwaukee against Detroit, they had like the highest overall like net rating of any team ever against Detroit because they just destroyed them every single game. So I think that's going to be worse no matter who Milwaukee plays in round one.
That's brutal. I mean, at least Milwaukee likes to give up threes, so maybe Bradley Beal can get some shots up. It'll be like
Beal did score 50 against Milwaukee earlier this year, too, so...
There you go. Bradley Beal going to be a scoring champion for these 8 games if he plays?
I think so. I think there's a good case for him to put up at least like 30, 35 points. He's still young. He's not going to have the same rust as someone who's like 29, 30. And he was putting up killer stats. So I could see him being the 8-game scoring champ.
I was really hoping the rumors of DeMarcus Cousins signing there were true, but unfortunately they're not. Because that would have been interesting if he actually signed there and then they end up making the playoffs and he's somewhat healthy, then... You know, who knows? Maybe they take one game against Milwaukee.
Is he even healthy enough to play right now?
No, he's not playing at all. No. There was a rumor about John Wall trying to get, management to sign DeMarcus for the restart. And then DeMarcus's camp just said no, because, he's not healthy enough, I guess.
I think Wall and DeMarcus have been trying to play together for years, right? Because they were on the same Kentucky teams?
Yeah, and next year I wouldn't doubt that he's on that team because there's not a lot of teams looking for a center like that that's going to give him a chance to be a starting center anyway. But it seems like they have a spot open.
Wait. You're saying DeMarcus Cousins would start over Thomas Bryant?
Thomas Bryant's not even starting. I didn't know he's on my fantasy team. Yann Mahimi was starting for half the year, even when he came back.
Oh, Yann Mahimi. Oh, my goodness. That's brutal.
I think they're trying to bring up Yann Mahimi's value because he signed that 5-year, $64 million deal at the start of free agency like 3 years ago. Man, what a time.
He has more years up with that team?
I think he's got like 1 or 2 years left, yeah.
Oh, man, that's brutal. You know who's going to do really well?
Simpler times back then.
Milwaukee's going to come out of this banging, mainly because the Lopez brothers are going to be so stoked to be at Disney World that they're just going to take the world on fire.
No. That's where you're wrong. Robin Lopez has already said that the hotel that they're staying in is lesser quality than the lower-seeded teams that are staying in that other hotel. I can't remember the names of the hotels, obviously, but he was saying that the lower-level teams that are staying at the other hotel, that hotel is actually a lot better than the one that they're staying at. So I think that they're going to be uncomfortable in that hotel, and that's going to create a negative environment around the team with the Lopez brothers just complaining all the time. And then Giannis is going to get pissed off and just ask out in the middle of the playoffs, because these guys just won't stop complaining about the hotel accommodations.
You think he's just going to leave? I can't stand the Lopez brothers anymore, guys. You got to get me out of here. He's going to purposely walk out. He's going to be that guy they had snitched on for leaving campus.
That's a good job. Giannis, of all people. I'm going back to Greece, guys.
Or he just says that the Lopez brothers left. How about that? That would be more logical. Fake snitch line, you know?
And he's telling you right now, there's going to be chemistry issues in Milwaukee.
Dude, you're crazy. He's going to get Chris Paul to call into the snitch line for him.
I think George Hill is going to get farm sick from being away from his farms for so long, too. He owns a big-ass farm.
Is it Karl Malone out here? Come on, man.
Pretty much, yeah. Things you didn't know, George Hill loves hunting.
Jesus, so does Karl Malone. For little Spanish girls.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Too far.
Oh, man. Yo, that's a classic Karl Malone
too
line.
Too far.
You know, one interesting point on a whole separate topic that was brought up yesterday in a podcast I listened to is now that NBA players are not going to be tested for weed, how are they going to get the weed in? I mean, it must be like they land in Orlando, get like a massive amount of weed in like a ton of bags and bring that in because you can't go off site afterwards and you're not gonna have the delivery guy come to the gate and be like, yeah, I got a delivery here for LeBron James, because the security guy's gonna check that stuff, so they must bring it in with them right when they arrive in Orlando, right?
Why are you assuming it's LeBron that gets a big bag of weed, huh?
Of course I bring him up. It's probably the Lopez twins, obviously, but yeah.
You couldn't have just said James Harden like everyone else is thinking.
See, that's something I'm considering. How well is James Harden going to play without those nightly strip club visits? Are his numbers going to drop and plummet without that motivation, or is it really going to soar, and where are the strip clubs holding him back?
Ah, I see what you're saying. I was thinking more like, what if he's so addicted to them that if he goes through withdrawal of not having strippers around, he just like starts getting the shakes while he's on the court?
You know, there was a recent outbreak in a Vancouver strip club, I think 2 days ago. I'm surprised that we haven't heard about like a recent outbreak in a Houston strip club, and then, you know, a day later we hear that Harden has a coronavirus.
Yo, the fact that Vancouver's opening strip clubs is crazy.
Can you imagine being the guy that has to tell your family, yeah, I got COVID. They're like, wait, what? You only had once. You said you were going to the store. And then it comes out, yeah, I wasn't actually at the store. Different kind of store, actually.
Yeah, tracing back his steps to the strip club would be hilarious. Wife's watching his
probably
GPS.
Other players Harden goes.
What about, like, a team, say, Indiana? Do they come out of this strong? I mean, Oladipo is going to be healthy. But on the other hand, you're possibly losing Brogdon because he tested positive? Or at least maybe he won't be at 100%?
No, he said that he'd be back healthy by the time the restart happens.
Yeah, well, I guess he's got a month to train, but I don't really know how it really affects their bodies, you know what I mean?
I just think Indiana's a team that's going to be on the bubble regardless of if this corona happened or didn't, and it really comes down to matchups, but in their regular season games, I think they were kind of like almost sputtering a little with Oladipo coming back, and he didn't kind of fit seamlessly into that team. And I think there was even reports coming from Indiana that he may evaluate whether he's good enough to play, because obviously he recovered from the injury, played in what, maybe 10, 11 games, and then the season stopped. So I think there's a period where he wasn't active and he doesn't want to re-injure that knee or that tendon again. So I think they're going to be an average team. They might go 4-4 in their 8 games.
Yeah, I think the deadline for them telling the teams that they're not going was a few days ago, but the hard deadline, I think, is today. So I don't really foresee him not going. And plus, he's obviously like a workaholic in terms of like him getting back from his injury this soon, too. Like it took a lot to come back from that specific injury. So I think he's going to try to end the season on a good note. But there's not a lot of good matchups for them come playoff time for them to actually advance even a round. So even if they get like the 5 seed and they're playing against, you know, Boston or whomever, even Philadelphia, I just can't foresee them winning more than a couple games.
That's fair. How does Philly come out of this? I mean, they've been relatively quiet. I think we've heard about Ben Simmons getting and Joel Embiid getting rehabbed during quarantine, which is obviously not complying with NBA regulations or procedures, I guess, or just general instruction. But we've heard a lot saying that, with Tobias Harris saying that there's been chemistry issues throughout the year. But could this be the kind of thing where, like, where you force a team to stay together? Like, these guys have nowhere else to go. This could possibly help them, right? To sort of just force them all into the same track? Josh, I know that you predicted they would win this year, or at least make it to the finals, so I mean, you got to be...
No, I'm saying it right now. I'm gonna restate it again. The Philadelphia 76ers are now my finals pick, and they are going to win the championship this year. It's going to be a surprise team that wins the championship this year, and they're such a bad road team, and now they don't have to deal with the fans in the crowd. They only have to deal with, you know, random 2K noises.
They're now a permanent road team, though, man.
Nah, it's a neutral site, and, you know, as they said going into the season, this team was built for the playoffs. So now come playoff time, you're going to have a bunch of teams that are out of shape. You're going to be playing a half-court game, and you're going to be playing a very physical game. And they're probably one of, if not the most physical teams in the NBA with, you know, their starting five currently situated with Al Horford playing the four. So there's going to be a lot of low-scoring games in the playoffs regardless, because teams are just not, you know, all the way there basketball-wise and in basketball shape. So I think that favors the Sixers, especially if they're playing a team that's more, you know, skill-based like Boston. I think they're just going to beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go completely the other route and say that Philadelphia is a team that's almost destined to implode. I feel that Embiid's...
It's one or the other.
I think that Philadelphia really has shown that Embiid coming back from injuries or long periods, he's shown that he's been out of shape and that team's going to go as far as Embiid goes. So I think they're going to run into some troubles in the first eight games. And I think them staying together all the time is going to create some friction between Simmons and Embiid and Tobias Harris and Al Horford. And sometimes it's good to have a bit of space to breathe. And I really don't see them doing that well this year. And I think maybe they'll make the conference finals, but I don't think they're as good of a team as Boston, the Raptors, or Milwaukee.
I think all they need is one series win, and they're going to ride that momentum all the way to the championship and make me look like a genius.
Dude, that's so optimistic. What happens if they somehow end up against... Wait, where are they right now? 5 seed? 6 seed? Jesus. So they're looking at either Boston or Toronto, assuming the first round.
It's going to be Boston either way. We know it's going to be Boston.
Yeah, Boston should be easy enough because they can just pound it inside, right? Imagine having like Kemba Walker trying to guard anyone on that 76ers team. He's going to get gobbled up.
Yeah, they're just going to post his little ass up all the time. And I think that's, you know, I've talked about this before. I think Boston's ideal closing lineup is having Marcus Smart be the point guard and then having, you know, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, and then Daniel Tice. Because against the specific teams, like against, you know, Philadelphia, there's really no matchup for him on the defensive end, and they're just going to pick him apart. So he might have to sit out like certain offensive possessions unless, you know, they call timeout and go offense defense a lot. So I don't really like that matchup for Boston if it ends up that way. And, you know, if they get a little momentum going and they sort of figure a few things out come round one, you never know what happens beyond that point. I think this year is going to be like a total anomaly in terms of like teams making the second round especially. There's going to be some upsets for sure.
What about this massive upset of Utah coming out of this with out Bojan Bogdanović and probably the worst, at least the worst publicized chemistry issues in the league right now? Obviously, Rudy Gobert was the first player to test positive for coronavirus, and, you know, he sort of made a joke out of it initially. Obviously, he was remorseful, but it didn't sit well with a lot of his teammates. You know, we all saw Donovan Mitchell say that, you know, you can't do this kind of thing. It's a serious issue. What are you doing messing around? And then you add in the Bojan Bogdanović injury. This Utah team seems pretty dead in the water to me, man. Like, that Bogdanović alone carried so much of their offense this year and really bailed them out. So without him, I can't really see where this team would actually go or do any real damage against real contenders.
Yeah, I'm going to make a bold prediction that Utah is going to win 3 games in their total minimum 12. Because I believe they have 8 regular season games, and then they're going to play a minimum of 4 playoff games, and I think they win 3 games. I think without Bogdanović, with the Gobert-Mitchell saga and Connolly not showing up and all the issues that you mentioned, like, they're really destined to fail in this mini season or regular season and postseason.
Yeah, I think the only bright side for Utah is now that Bogdanović is out of the lineup now, that they can hopefully get Mike Conley more integrated in being like one of the main guys, and hopefully, you know, hopefully he steps up the plate and actually fits in a little bit better with Mitchell, especially in the lineup. Because there's certain lineups without Mitchell where Conley's like the main ball handler. He's done okay. But now that he doesn't have Bogdanović and he has to, you know, produce every single game instead of once every 2 or 3 games, he's going to have to really step it up and play and be, you know, old Mike Conley and average, you know, 19 points, 7 assists, or else Utah's going to lose every game by like 10-plus points in the playoffs, because there really isn't a good playoff matchup for them, especially without that shooting on the court. But defensively, they'll still be okay. I mean, Bogdanović wasn't a good defensive player, obviously, and they're replacing him with, you know, guys like Niang, or if they go super small, they'll play like Joe Ingles and Royce O'Neal together with Mitchell and Gobert and Conley. So they're going to have to really mix and match, and they have a good coach for that. Like, he'll figure some things out to where they'll still be a tough out in the playoffs because they play really good defense and they have Gobert back there. But ultimately, they're probably a first round and out team.
Yeah, but they also don't have their home court advantage, which gave them a huge edge historically. So I don't see them winning more than 3 games, like in total.
Remember a few years ago when Bogdanović was still in Indiana and he had that one really good playoff run against LeBron when he was in Cleveland, and everyone thought Bogdanović became like this all-star defender because he could stay in front of LeBron like once every 3 plays? What happened to that Bogdanović?
That was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, like 2 or 3 years ago. I think that's right.
Yeah, no, he's obviously a good player. I don't think he's a defensive stopper, as I guess they assumed he was after that one series. But they're going to miss him. I do want to talk about another team in the West that always seems to go under the radar because they obviously living in Lakerland and behind LeBron's shadow. But I think the Clippers are kind of the team that Josh alluded to the 76ers are. I think they're just gritty. They're tough. They have a lot of players that can create their own shots. Their whole combination of their team, how well they play defensively. And they've also not played together for the entirety of the season. So them restarting, they're kind of used to this. They didn't play with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I think they played, what, like maximum 12 games together? And once the season restarts, I definitely think they have a chance of doing that again and picking off where they left off. And I think they're going to be the finals, guaranteed to be in the finals. And I think they're going to win it all and they're going to steamroll the competition.
Steamroll?
I can definitely see that happening. I mean, the Clippers were my pick before the season started, and now I'm just going off the board because of the situation surrounding the bubble. But I have them in the finals too. And I probably should pick them over Philadelphia, but, you know, Philadelphia makes it there. They're going to win. But in terms of the Clippers, honestly, like, you know, if Lou Williams talking about possibly sitting out, in certain situations in the playoffs, I think the Clippers might actually prefer that. Because then they'd have to make a hard decision on whether to play him or play a guy like, you know, Marcus Morris or somebody more defensive-oriented, to where they have to really make a decision and hopefully not, you know, make Lou Williams angry. But at that point, who really cares, right? Like, Doc Rivers has, you know, experience in the situation. He's won a championship before. So he's going to make whatever decision is best for the Clippers in that moment. You know, you saw it in a couple games against the Lakers this year where LeBron specifically picked on Lou Williams every single play down the stretch. And in situations like that, you just can't play him. So you have to figure out a different lineup in order to succeed, especially on the defensive end in crunch time.
So you're going to give Lou Williams a Kemba Walker treatment?
Yes. Kemba Walker's actually, like, he's been decent on defense this year. He's actually been pretty good. He tries. Whereas Lou Williams, he just does, like, that reach-around move. He lets the guy go by, and then he tries to reach around with his left arm, trying to poke the ball away. That doesn't work against professionals.
That's, like, the laziest defensive move, man.
Yeah.
I've always been so jealous of people who can do it because my arm, like, my wingspan matches my height, like, perfectly. But for those, like, extra 3 inches that some guys have on their wingspan, woo, goes a long way, man.
I got Rafael Araujo arms. I got the alligator arms, so I know the feeling.
Oh, man, you got T-Rex arms?
Yep.
Oh, that's tough. Good luck to you, my friend.
But I'm white, so I got my steel for grit.
You bring your lunch pail to work every day?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, it's better than me. All I have is a protractor and, I don't know. What else has Jeremy Lin used to get his steals? Nothing?
His Harvard crazy degree? Samurai hair.
His Harvard degree. There you go. A piece of paper and a protractor gets me defensive stats. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. All right. Who's going to be affected the worst with players sitting out? So right now we're looking at a relatively big list. You got guys like Trevor Ariza, we talked about last week when Woj said that he's not going back due to a custody battle. Davis Bertans is the first player, or one of the first players, to say he's not coming back. Obviously, he's in a contract year, so he's going to protect his knees. Avery Bradley sitting out, just like Kyrie. They're basically in the same camp. You got my boy Wilson Chandler doing the same thing. Major, major, major piece of these Brooklyn Nets, guys. DeAndre Jordan, obviously just tested positive, looking like he's out. Spencer Dinwiddie tested positive. Still debating whether he's going to go or not. I'm pretty sure we can bank on Spencer Dinwiddie going. Without Kyrie Irving being there, I'm pretty sure he's going to go and get his minutes up. Get his buckets.
I think he's in a contract year, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Obviously, he wants to get paid. If he's healthy enough, he's going.
Yeah, for sure.
And Josh, your favorite big man in the league, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Oh, God. Sitting up. Who he play for?
That's a good question, Raj. Who does he play for?
The Dallas Mavericks.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Where was he to start the year, though?
He was on the Golden State Warriors. Hey.
Very nice. Very nice.
I follow my ex-Kings pretty well.
Man, that's sad. So who's going to be affected the most? I think the easiest choice is the Lakers, right? Avery Bradley's probably the best player on this list, aside from maybe Trevor Ariza?
Come on, Davis Bertans. I think that's the clear pick. The player.
What are you saying, man? Davis is nice.
Yeah, but who cares about the Wizards? The Washington Beals are going to go as
far. No, but you're asking who the best player is out of this group, right?
Yeah, fine, I guess.
The best player is clearly Davis Bertans in terms of his contribution to his respective team. Now, which team is going to suffer the most is a different question. I want to say the Lakers, and it's not Avery Bradley per se. I think that he's not the only player that might pull out. And there's been rumblings about Dwight Howard having concerns. JaVale McGee is pretty concerned with his asthma. If they lose one of those two big men, like, that just changes their complexity or their complexion as a team. And I think they have a lot to lose. And the players they're bringing in are players that were not on NBA rosters prior to the start of this season.
Yeah, like, honestly, I don't think Avery Bradley makes that big of a difference on that team. It's just a matter of, you're giving his minutes now to guys, like you said, that haven't really played for them, and Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. So I think the minutes that are going towards, you know, Alex Caruso possibly starting or playing the majority of the minutes is a good thing, because I think they were like 12-1 without Bradley, and Caruso played well when he got extended minutes. But now you're giving the minutes that Caruso was getting to J.R. Smith, who hasn't played in a year, and Deion Waiters, who might come in like 30 pounds overweight. So, I don't know. And plus, like you said, if JaVale, you know, decides to stay out, or Dwight Howard actually decides to go by what he said before and stick by his word, which has never happened in the past, because Howard's going to be in Orlando. Like, he was talking about sitting out for social justice. There's no chance Dwight Howard is sitting out.
Yeah, Dwight Howard's got too many kids to feed, man.
Exactly.
Can't afford to sit out. Come on now.
And some of the players that are going against Irving and, you know, Dwight Howard were saying that. It's like, these guys can say this kind of thing because they've already made all their money.
And we lost Josh.
Well, just to finish off Josh's point, the Lakers have the most to lose. I think there are going to be more players that drop out. And I know this hard deadline that the teams or the league has imposed, it's really for show. I think there's going to be players in the next 1 or 2 weeks that are going to say, you know what? Considering everything, I decided not to play. I'm taking my health into consideration. I really do think the Lakers for now, but there might be a team like the Clippers. Like, if they end up losing Lou Williams and then Harrell decides not to play, I think they're in big trouble.
Yeah, well, I guess it's because those are the the centerpieces of the team, right? I mean, I think for every team, if you lose your top two or three players, like every team, we can just name them off, it's going to be majorly detrimental, right? If you look at Denver, if Jamal Murray ends up getting sick and has to sit, if the Clippers lose, like you said, Harrell, or even OKC, if they lose Gallinari or Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I mean, the teams are kind of screwed, right? Like, they're all major pieces. But as of this point, I mean, we just got to go with whatever's available. And so by the Lakers losing Avery Bradley, it's not just like what Josh alluded to earlier. It's not Avery Bradley's specific contribution, which is pretty good defense on a point guard. It's more that those minutes got to go somewhere. And then that means you want Alex Caruso playing, what was Bradley averaging, like 25 to 30 minutes a game. That means J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters split the bench minutes. Dude, Deion Waiters tripped out on a plane earlier this year. You know what I mean?
On that note, going back to the whole weed thing.
It's Deion Waiters. Like,
if you're allowing players to smoke weed, imagine Deion Waiters in the bubble having as much weed as possible at his disposal. That's going to be the reason why the bubble burst. He's going to freak out and, like, just run away from Disney, come back in, and then the whole COVID is going to run rampant.
You mean he's literally
on waiters?
He's gonna trip out and literally find a bubble to go pop.
Yep.
He's gonna run around with a knife trying to pop bubbles and shit. I don't know, man. The Lakers situation is so strange, and obviously it's like the major storyline because it's, you know, LeBron's in his 17th or 18th year, and he's having an incredible year. Anthony Davis this year is actually a contract year. All that kind of stuff, but I don't know, man. The Lakers look kind of strange at this point. How do you guys think that the Trevor Ariza, or lack of Trevor Ariza, is going to affect the Blazers? Because, I mean, who the hell is going to play their three again?
Yeah, the Trailblazers need to focus on getting into the playoffs first, and obviously Trevor Ariza was a piece. I don't think he was as important, obviously, as Dame or CJ McCollum, and if Nurkic does end up playing, I think they'd rather have Nurkic than have Trevor Ariza. And I think the player that would play their three in that situation with no defense is Carmelo Anthony. So, you know he's probably going to want to play.
Yeah, Josh, you disagree?
I disagree. I disagree. Hard disagree. I think what's going to happen is Portland's going to go super small. And I think a guy like Anthony Simons is going to play a lot more. So I think you're going to see like CJ McCollum play the three a lot of the time.
Yeah, that'd be incredible. You got, who did you say? Anthony Simons?
Yeah, I think they're going to play like the three-guard lineup, sort of like what OKC does with Schroeder and CP3 and Shea. And they're just going to try to outscore teams at that point.
I mean, that's a lot of firepower. And then what, you still stick Melo at the four? Or you hope that...
Melo's going to be the guy off the bench, I think. I think you have to start Collins as long as he's in shape.
Collins and Whiteside, I'm assuming? Because Nurkic can't be at 100% at this point, right? You got to play your most healthy players.
Yeah,
I think you have to probably have Melo and Whiteside start this restart of the bubble. But come playoff time, if they actually make the playoffs in the important games, I think you're going to see guys like Collins and maybe Nurkic if he's able to come back in 10 games, which is pretty unlikely. But probably it's going to be Collins and Whiteside at the 4 and the 5 in the games that matter if they make it that far.
Raj, do you think your Sacramento Kings have any chance of coming out of this?
Yes, quote, my Kings have absolutely zero chance of coming out of this. If there's one team that does cause the bubble to burst, they would be the Kings. They're so dysfunctional that I'm sure they would completely disregard all the rules. Their team's just not really built in a way that they're going to come out of the gates firing and they're going to win six of eight games. I would be surprised if they go 500 in the regular season, and that won't be good enough to get them into the playoff contention.
Yeah, for them, I just want to see more development with hopefully Marvin Bagley's healthy and he's able to develop some chemistry with De'Aaron Fox going into next year. Because even though, you know, everyone's talking about Trae Young and Luka, I still think that Bagley's a really good player. And if he's actually healthy, he can eventually become one of the better big men in the league once he develops his skills. So I'm hoping that he's going to be healthy because he has a lot of injury issues. And hopefully he can use these 8 games to sort of, you know, catapult his career going forward because he needs the minutes and he needs, you know, the touches, I think.
All right, which second-year player has a better run for these 8 games plus the playoffs? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Luka Doncic, Raj?
I think it's going to probably be Luka Doncic, just because he's going to have to carry the volume. I'm looking at Josh here, and he's just confused. What kind of question is
this? What the fuck are you talking about? Luka or Shai? What the hell?
I just want to give Shai some love, man.
Yeah,
I love Shai as much as anybody, but comparing him to Luka, come on, man.
Hey. OKC might go way further than Dallas will in this playoff run.
You don't
know what Luka and Kristaps have been doing.
That's true. I really hope Luka comes back looking like Jokic. That'd be great.
That's not going to happen. You know that's not happening. I'm actually worried about Jokic being so skinny, man. That guy's bought...
No. The thing that nobody's talking about with Jokic is if he actually has to quarantine, like say he doesn't actually leave his room for 14 days, and whoever he's with just is bringing him food every like couple hours, he's going to be back to normal form in those 14 days. Like by the time we reach... You know, July 31st, Jokic is going to be back to being 330 pounds or whatever he was before.
330? I mean, that's probably better
for him. He's probably close to that.
It's probably better for him. I don't want, like, beginning of this year Jokic, but I want, like, all-star break Jokic. You know what I mean? Like, a little thicker, but not fat.
If I'm Tim Connolly, I'm like calling Uber Eats, Dairy Queen, McDonald's, Wendy's, whatever. Just getting those like scheduled delivery times for Jokic over the course of the next 14 days while he's in quarantine. Making sure he doesn't go out, but making sure he gets nice and thick.
Nice and thick.
Oh, some supersized Pepsis.
Oh, yeah. Get all that caffeine.
Staying on brand with Pepsi. I like it. All right, who do you guys have as your front runners for getting out of each respective conference? Josh?
For me, it's going to be Philadelphia and the Clippers.
Wow, Philly. I really don't see it. Raj?
I think the Raptors and the Clippers. I'm not even trying to be a homer here. Wow. I think the fact that the Raptors have played with so many of their guys injured, they've slowly developed their roles. I think they're going to have a lot of chemistry going into the next 8 games. And I think the style of play they were playing before can come back. And it's not like getting into rhythm. It's putting in effort. And if they have another 4 or 5 weeks to get back into training camp shape and know their rotations and being able to play that good defense that they were playing before the league took a pause, I think they have a real shot at the Clippers, because I think they're just going to blow by every other team. I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I said Utah's not going to win 3 games, or they're going to win under 3. I think the Clippers are going to lose 3 or less games in this entire playoff run.
That's a bold take. That is a fiery hot take.
Yeah, I can definitely see it. I mean, like, Kawhi's had so much rest time now, and their team is going to be fully healthy come playoff time. And as you said, they didn't really gain any chemistry over the course of the year, yet they were still that good. So you put them together for 8 games, and, you know, they're fully healthy come playoff time. It wouldn't surprise me. Like, they're really good.
That's a strong take, man. Because what happens if they go against the Lakers? You're going to assume that the Lakers take at least 1 or 2 games. Really? Neither of you think the Lakers would take 1 or 2 games off the Clippers?
No,
if the Clippers choose not to play Lou Williams in the last 5 minutes of the game, the Lakers will not beat the Clippers.
I think the break really hurt the Lakers in terms of their confidence. And again, LeBron is a beast, and he's, what, 36 years old now? The fact that some of their veterans are, like, JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard aren't the youngest guys of the bunch. And I think the one advantage the Clippers had over the Lakers is they had more aggressive, determined players that are just better one-on-one players. And I think going into a shortened regular season and then an accelerated playoffs, I think that's going to benefit the Clippers greatly.
I just don't think the Lakers are that good. Like, honestly, even like throughout the course of the regular season, yes, they were winning a lot of games, but against the better competition, they won some games recently before, you know, COVID and everything, but I just don't like their roster, like, especially their bench. Like, you have to rely on Rajon Rondo now to play extended minutes. And Lakers fans hate that guy because he's taking minutes away from Caruso. So, honestly, if they play Caruso more, they would have a much better chance, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think the Lakers fans are who we should look to as the voice of reason ever.
No, but Rondo sucks, let's be honest.
Rondo's not that bad, man. Relax.
Yeah, he sucks.
Relax.
He's terrible.
Calm down.
He's bad.
Great name.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm surprised that neither of you picked... Well, I'm not surprised Josh didn't pick the Bucks, but Raj, like, no love for the Bucks?
Well, I think the Bucks are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Raptors. I just think that the fact that they're going to rely on their shooting a lot, and shooting comes with practice and reps, and not having those reps for 3 or 4 months is going to hurt them. And I think the fact that the Raptors are kind of like a multi-tool team, like they have a few different ways of beating you, they're not really good at one single thing, is going to prove valuable.
That's true.
I still think the Bucks were better last year. Just losing Brogdon is going to hurt them come playoff time. I said that before the season started, too. You're going to have to rely more on guys like Wes Matthews and George Hill to make plays versus a guy like Brogdon who killed the Raptors for at least, you know, 50% of the series. So I just don't like their secondary ball handling outside of, you know, Giannis obviously handling the ball a bunch. Even though the Raptors are not as good as last year, I could definitely see that happening. And I think Boston could beat them, too. I think Philadelphia could beat them. So, I don't know. I just don't think they're quite ready for, you know, the big time yet. I don't think they're a fully capable playoff team.
I love that you just nixed out Eric Bledsoe from being a playoff contributor.
Well, he's proven that himself.
Oh man, I love it. I
still Middleton go. Too. Like,
Middleton against every single team besides Boston, he's been a big bust in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. I still think that the Bucks will come out of it. Not that the Raptors are, you know, a week full or anything. But honestly, I think Marc Gasol losing that much weight might be a problem.
No.
Yeah, dude. Like, a lot of his purely his defense, but a lot of his game is just based on being a bigger guy. Like, he looks skinny now. He doesn't look like he's lean and, like jacked. Dude just looks skinny, straight up. And it's
on that note, if Philadelphia plays Toronto in the playoffs now, Embiid should dominate, right?
Embiid should dominate him. Maybe it won't even be Toronto there. Maybe it'll be a Milwaukee-Philadelphia finals, Eastern Conference finals. And what then? I'm still taking Milwaukee. Screw it. Why not? And then coming out of my West, I don't want to side with you guys and say the Clippers, man. I think we all had them at the beginning of the year, too, which is the worst part.
Pick Denver!
Denver can't even play right now! I'm not trusting a team where their best player has Corona. I just can't do it. That just makes no sense. You know what I mean?
Well, pick OKC then. Be a hero.
No, I should pick Houston just to piss everybody off.
Oh,
what would that be? Now I'm gonna pick Raj, your favorite player, King James, is gonna go back to the finals this year.
I would be surprised to see it, but you know what? Good on him if he does.
Yeah, I can't even say it with a straight face. I still think it's the Clippers. That's kind of boring for me to go with the one seed in both conferences, but I mean, I don't see any other difference. Can I ask you guys one last question? I'm sure you both have heard this a lot recently. Why are the Celtics the underdog, quote-unquote, coming out of the East instead of the Raptors? Like, why are there so many critics saying that the Celtics could take the Raptors?
It's because people want to sound cool.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Boston isn't the the current NBA champions, and also Boston's an American city and Toronto's not. That's probably the main reason.
Yeah, they're very similar teams, but everyone thinks they're an expert in saying, oh, Boston could be the sleeper. When everyone says that, therefore, how can they be a sleeper if everyone's talking about them? Nobody actually talks about the Raptors, right? So I think Raptors are like the one team that, you know, could actually come out of the East that really nobody's really talking about besides Canadians. So,
well, and Philadelphia, yeah. Apparently.
Yeah. Well, one other thing just to add, I think the order of teams that have the best shot of making it out of the East is in this order: Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee.
Whoa. I don't agree with that. I think Milwaukee's by far number one right now.
Yeah.
But I think a lot can change. And I think Boston's probably number two. And then I have Toronto three and then Philadelphia four. But I don't know. I still believe in the Sixers.
This guy goes with a four seed to make it out. Oh, man.
I mean, this is like the most random tournament you're going to have. And Philadelphia's the most random team in this playoffs. Like, especially in terms of how they're constructed.
Yeah.
So I really do, like, even before the season started, I knew this wasn't going to work in the regular season. Because you can't really have Horford playing the four in today's NBA. In the regular season anyway. But come playoff time, when it's a half-court game, and you got to get beat up by those two big guys in the paint, I like them.
Wait, which two big guys? Are you talking about their big point guard or Al Horford?
Embiid and Horford.
Embiid and Horford. And Simmons is like a defensive player of the year candidate, so their defense is going to be on point in the playoffs.
Yo, they're going to have the most boring games to watch.
Oh, Embiid's going to
be like 90-point games.
Embiid's going to be like 350. Like, all the weight that Jokic and Gasol lost, Embiid absorbed.
Like conservation of mass.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no weight is lost in this league. Man.
All right. I'm locking it in with the Bucks and the Lakers. I think I changed my mind. Just, I can't go against J.R. Smith.
Now, that's a boring pick.
Any god?
No, it's having the Bucks and the Lakers in the finals. That's what the favorites say. That's what Vegas says.
I know. I'm a boring guy, Josh. What can I say?
Should have picked Denver.
Dude, why would anyone pick Denver right now?
Yo, how about this? They actually get, the whole team gets Corona, recovers, and then they don't even have to fucking worry about it while they're in the
game. Then they're going to be the team of the Republicans. The Republicans are going to like gather around and be like, oh man, Corona isn't a big thing. Look at the Nuggets, they won the championship and their entire team had it.
Yo, you know what would suck? Imagine if Kanye West started cheering for your favorite team. Would you ditch that team immediately?
I'd consider. I actually would.
Yeah. I would definitely ditch the Nuggets if Kanye West wore, like, a Nuggets hat to a game.
Do we know what team he follows?
I don't know, man. He probably has money
tied up. Must be the Lakers.
Yeah, I really don't care. I hate that guy. Just no
red hat. Do we know what team Drake follows? Oh, yeah, it's right, everyone.
What the hell? Why are you hitting on Drake?
Yeah, fuck Drake, man.
Wow, that's a hot take for a Canadian.
Fake ambassador.
Hey, man. He got you guys a championship, okay?
He's crap. OVO. Fuck your OVO.
Wow, that's harsh. All right, well, on that note, I'm going to end this before Josh starts spewing out more hatred.
I guarantee you, if Philadelphia wins the championship this year, Drake is going to be in that locker room.
That'd be great. Parting it up.
He's going to burst that bubble.
That'd be okay. Let him do his thing, Josh. And then next year, you'll have Joel Embiid on the roster.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
See, maybe that's what you need.
Siakam, Giannis, and Embiid. Woo!
That's what Drake is going to do for you.
Yeah, it's not going to be Drake bringing him. It's a giant of Africa.
There you go. Messiah. All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.